Hello and welcome to this episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. And this week we'll be talking about some news from Nike that came out last week. And we're going to see if a Bluetooth connected shoe could be the start of a little bit of Nike's future. But before we do that, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. So as I mentioned at the top, Nike announced last week that it's rolling out a self-lacing Bluetooth-connected shoe. This came on the heels of the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, where all the big tech companies from Google to Amazon are showing off some of the stuff they have coming down the pipeline. And it was a little interesting to see Nike kind of do this simultaneously. But yeah, the sportswear giant introduced its new Adapt BB, just the letters BB, after teasing them over the last month. So the shoes themselves are self-lacing. They're connected to an app, and they come out about 2 years after Nike introduced a self-lacing, chargeable, futuristic-looking shoe called the Hyper Adapts that were actually kind of a play on the shoes that Marty McFly, which is a character from Back to the Future War and Back to the Future 2, those weren't necessarily, they were more of like a marketing gimmick. But Nike seems pretty serious about these new shoes they are putting out. I will just read a little bit of what it says for the shoes themselves. They look pretty normal. These are just black shoes, white soles, and the laces are non-visible. Kind of hard to describe, so I'd encourage you just to look it up, but they don't look anything very futuristic necessarily. But as I said, now I want to kind of just read what they are to give people a feel for what they are pitching it as a company. So Nike says they are designed to give you a customized, consistent fit. The Nike Adapt BB is our first power lacing shoe that's built for basketball. Strong yet flexible, it adapts to your foot to provide a locked-in heel for distraction-free play. Pair it with the Nike Adapt app to fine-tune the fit and customize the features from your smartphone. So it seems a little crazy to think that people need a Bluetooth-connected shoe with an app to lace your shoes. It seems like you really can't tie your own shoelaces. We're getting to that point, but they do. I was very skeptical at first, reading a little bit more about it, kind of seeing what they're marketing it as and what they're saying the benefits are. I can see that maybe down the line, this really does have some legs, especially for top athletes, maybe not the everyday person going to the gym or going for a run, but we'll get into a little bit more of that. So the idea is that the app provides you control. You can preset tightnesses, loose settings, all of this. And as I mentioned, they don't look super futuristic. The only time you see a little bit of this futuristic look is when you're actually using the app to tighten or unlace them. You see these two little lights kind of flash at the bottom. They don't look like light-up shoes for little kids. They look a little more sleek, as you would expect from Nike. But that's the only thing that looks particularly futuristic about them right off the bat. And then the idea is that you can't tell has any real technology in it. What actually is coiling and locking in the laces in the shoes is underneath the sole. I could go into the details of all the exact technology, but it's not really relevant for this podcast. All you need to know is that you're not lacing them themselves. This little connected coil is loosening and tightening them from inside the shoe. Nike's saying it uses 32 pounds of force, which is equal to what they call the standard parachute cord. So they're saying it's very, you can get them very tight, which for basketball, when you're playing in the NBA, that's probably something you really want. You don't want any looseness or anything like that. And obviously it connects to an app. Nike calls it its most tested shoe ever. They have a lot of stats of how much they've tested it. They've run each of these shoes 300 miles, which is an insane amount of time, blah, blah, blah. 140 degrees Fahrenheit, 85% humidity. So the technology in the shoes isn't going to break down just because you're using them a lot, is the idea. And so as I mentioned, it seemed kind of gimmicky. We're having Bluetooth connected shoes. There's no laces. There's little lights at the bottom. You have to charge these shoes on a charging pad. They have to say in the marketing material that, don't worry, if your shoes run out of battery while you're using them, you can still take them off. As I said, it's a little goofy, but as I also mentioned, that the more you think about it, it's not necessarily as goofy for these top-level athletes, and you already had real NBA basketball players wearing them in actual NBA basketball games. So some young NBA stars that Nike's trying to promote, Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic, De'Aaron Fox, Kyle Kuzma, all wore them in the lead-up to Nike officially releasing them last week. Not officially selling them yet, but introducing them with a price point and when they can buy them. So speaking of that, you can buy these Nikes, the Nike Adapt BB, which BB stands for basketball for anyone who didn't pick that up yet. You can buy them on Nike Sneaker App, which is one of their many, where they're really trying to do this consumer, direct-to-consumer push. They have a lot of apps, a lot of e-commerce platforms, and then you can also buy them on Nike.com through this sneakers platform, which is just S-N-K-R-S. You can set a notification on this platform for when they're going to release all these shoes. If you're not a sneakerhead, as they call it, where they have release dates for all these specific models of these specific shoes at these relatively crazy price points. So for this shoe, the Nike Adapt BB is going to be available to be sold on February 17th at 10 a.m. Eastern. So then you can get a notification and then try to go on the website, buy them as soon as possible. And they're selling them at a $350 price point. So $350 for a pair of basketball shoes. Honestly, that's a lot of money, but people spend way more money on basketball shoes that don't have any technology or anything like that built into it. Interestingly enough, you have Adidas putting out what they're calling their first ever laceless designed basketball shoes at around the same time. Not as tech heavy at a lower price point, but that's just to kind of say that they're both, these two huge sportswear companies are both putting out these more futuristic looking shoes at the same time. So it's not necessarily a gimmick, and both these companies see maybe long term this as being something that they really do sell and that consumers buy. And the idea is that it's adaptive. Nike has plans for these going forward. They said that the Fit Adapt system, once they hone it in basketball, the next step will be bringing it to other sports and its lifestyle products. I mean, you have companies like Apple who are saying that their health awareness. Tim Cook recently said that if you look back on Apple, that he thinks they're going to be known more for what they did for health than anything else. When you have the Apple Watch that now is boasting all these health features, AFib monitor, all that stuff. So Nike's really trying to kind of go with this consumer-facing health business where they're selling you products that also have maybe these health benefits, even if people don't necessarily think that. But the premise is that for NBA players or high-level athletes or really anybody, that you're lacing up your shoes insanely tight at the beginning of a game. You're never untightening them until maybe halftime, where the idea is that you would have this app and the coaching staff or yourself or somebody is then loosening them as soon as there's a timeout. You get blood flow back in your feet. That for anyone that ties their shoes or goes running or does anything, if you do tie them insanely tight, you will notice after a while that you aren't necessarily getting enough blood flow to your feet. And that is the basic premise, that you will have all these presets of how exactly tight you want your shoes at all these different settings for warm-ups, for the game, for timeouts, for halftime, all these things. That's what they're marketing as. Maybe down the line they even have sensors for your feet and somehow they get more information. At this point, all these professional athletes are wearing monitors, so they're monitoring all their health data at all times. So maybe they even have now information about what's going on with your feet. And when there's billions of dollars on the line and millions of dollars for these individual players, they really, why not get something like this that could maybe end up having benefits in both in-game and in the long run in terms of your overall health. So we'll see what that happens with that going forward. But this is a product that they are going to sell to consumers. NBA players are already wearing it. And it's not going to be obviously a big revenue generator at this point, but you can see down the line that this is kind of how companies might be moving towards more of these connected products. As insane as that sounds, but that's sort of how the world is trending in general. But yeah, as I mentioned, this is a little gimmicky now in general for the company itself. This is not like, this is our next business model is to make everything connected, all these adapt fit shoes. That's not happening yet, but it's part of kind of Nike's constant push as a company that's been around for decades. They're still at the top of the sportswear industry, despite all this competition, because they're doing things like this and putting out what cutting edge products and pushing the boundaries and kind of seeing what they can do to create more buzz and consumer awareness and brand loyalty. So it's kind of part of the bigger picture of what Nike is doing in general. So now I want to do a little quick overview of Nike and a quick 2019 outlook. And also I'm going to just hit on how the stock's done recently to give people a sense of what's going on with Nike. So Nike has crushed the S&P 500 over the last decade. That's not a shock to most people. The company's up 605% compared to the index, which is up just over 210%. But then over the last 5 years, a chart then, instead of over the last decade, which is a little bit more compact. Nike is up 119% compared to Adidas, which is up about 90%. And then you have Under Armour, which is actually down 3% over the last 5 years after a pretty huge drop off from late 2015 till it hit a real low point in late 2017. It's gone on a big run since then. But the company that's actually stood out a lot that I've talked about on this podcast multiple times before that's crushing Nike, Under Armour, and Adidas is Lululemon. They're up huge over the last 5 years and up huge over the last couple of years. So I just want to quickly touch on how Nike stock is doing in general, just to give people a sense of how the company's been performing since it is still the biggest sportswear company on the planet. So they reported their fiscal second quarter right before the holidays. So I never really got to talk about it on the show. So I'll quickly just talk about it. They beat revenues up 10%. They also beat on earnings. That's great. And then just more specifically, they're doing well in North America. Again, their revenues are up 9% in North America to $3.8 billion. Which also topped our estimates. And we should note that this is building on what was a disappointing second quarter of their fiscal 2018 from the year before, where their North American sales were down 5%. And this was actually a really big deal last year when that happened for Nike, because North America is by far their most important market. But they were able to return back to this growth in North America through direct consumer push. They're really just focusing on getting rid of the retail companies that they have been working with, the wholesalers that weren't doing well. They still have a focus on that. In this social media and digital consumer age, they're really standing out compared to their peers, especially I would say Under Armour. And then a quick note, just in terms of their reach on especially like youthful focused platforms, which is one of the biggest ones, obviously, is Instagram, which is owned by Facebook. They have 84 million Instagram followers on their Nike, just their main Nike Instagram account, which they don't really even do that much on. And then they have all of these separate Instagram accounts. But to just put that in perspective, the other biggest company in the world that in Europe is even bigger than it is in the United States, Adidas, which is also growing hugely in the States, they're at 23. So 84 to 23 is the gap on just this massively popular platform that's really geared towards millennials, that you can now actively shop directly from Instagram. So going forward, that'll be something to pay attention to. And then Under Armour, which has for years kind of played third to both of these big companies that at some point people thought they would maybe jump up and really be able to compete. They're at 6.7 million. So that kind of really shows their scope, especially internationally. They just, Under Armour hasn't been able to grow in this athleisure focused business where Nike has. They have actual sportswear stuff, which is what they're doing with these adaptive BB shoes where Bluetooth connected. This is really, we're trying to say this is for the hardcore serious basketball player, but then they're also selling shoes that are really just to be worn, to be seen in, that people are paying sometimes thousands and thousands of dollars for. So they have really both sides of the coin at this point. And then I want to point out a couple interesting stats that for anyone who's interested in investing in Nike are certainly something to pay attention to. So last quarter, Nike's digital revenues were up 41%, with mobile now accounting for what their CFO, Andy Champion, said is well over 50% of digital commerce revenue. So mobile phone is really driving a lot of digital growth, and they're already now seeing half of their revenue from digital commerce coming specifically from people shopping on their phones. And then going forward, the CFO said on their earnings call that he expects their digital division will comprise almost 30% of the firm's total business by 2023, compared to just about 15% right now. So huge growth within the next 4 years in their digital business, where they can see almost a third of the company's overall revenues coming just from people shopping online, and a lot of that shopping coming specifically from your phone. So when I mention Instagram, it might sound like, what does that really matter? But that is their huge lead over some of their competitors in terms of reach, actually does hold some water. And then their sales in Greater China were up 26% last quarter, and that is their second most important market really at this point. And that's where hopefully for the company, they can also continue to grow. And then obviously Europe, the Middle East, and Africa is still important, but that was only up 8% last quarter. But that's a little bit more saturated. And now I want to quickly look ahead to some of their estimates for this year. So our Zacks consensus estimates are calling for Nike's revenues to climb about 5.7% this quarter, and then 7.5% for the year revenue growth. So a little bit of a slowdown is what we're calling for. And then on the bottom line, things don't look as great this quarter. Our estimates are calling for Nike's earnings to slip 7%, so to fall year over year 7%. So that's never a great sign. And then all of our earnings estimate revisions, which is a huge part of our Zacks rank, which determines what are our good buys and bad buys at the moment, are all trending in the wrong direction for Nike's current quarter estimates, with 10 heading in the wrong direction in the last day compared to none heading upwards. But in the end, we'll see how those earnings estimates can be a little fluid. Overall, the idea is that they're really pushing digital commerce, but then CEO Mark Parker has also said that they're not giving up on retail, actual brick and mortar retail, which shows that like company like Amazon, who has really driven this whole e-commerce thing forward, they're now opening up more physical retail stores. So there isn't a point where people are just never going to shop anywhere but online. So there has to be a place where you can still buy Nike in store and not just through Nike's actual own brick and mortar stores. So Mark Parker has said that they're continuing to work with Foot Locker, Nordstrom's, and Dick's Sporting Goods. And those are really going to be some of their focus on that wholesale side. And as I mentioned, they have the sportswear side. They also have the actual business where they're making the NBA's uniforms. They're making the NFL's uniforms. They're hugely embedded in European soccer. Soccer's growing in America. So they have kind of, as I said, they have their tentacles everywhere in terms of this company's reach. And then another thing to notice in terms of what might be a little more trendy at this point is old school retro trends are still coming back. And we know that fashion can be very cyclical. And that's why sometimes retail businesses are hard to invest in, or brands are hard to invest in, because their popularity can fluctuate so much. And that's why it is so impressive that Nike's really been able to hold this place in people's minds as a really great company that has this brand cachet for so long. But as I mentioned, another thing to look out for is that they see their Converse brand, which they bought in the early 2000s, which now seems like for an insanely cheap amount of money, their Converse brand, they're expecting to grow within the next couple quarters as well, even though it's grown a little bit over the last year. It's definitely a company to always keep an eye on. And I really just wanted to talk about what they're doing with this connected Bluetooth basketball shoe that's self-lacing. And it's definitely something that a lot of other companies, you could see them transitioning to these connected products, even though it seems a little too futuristic for now. And why can't you lace up your own shoes? But that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.